Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, January 4th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
Really? A lot of ladies get right in the car after that line, you creepy piece of...
Creepy piece of what? Hey, we're back. It's a brand new year, and while I enjoyed my brief respite from podcasting, I'm eager to get back at it, don't you know? During the break these last 2 weeks, I've been busy lining up an amazing array of outstanding guests who will make 2010 a banner year. We open the new year with yet another addition to the Erotic Mind podcast series. And speaking of outstanding guests, I have the pleasure of welcoming a true master of the erotic short story and novel, the one and only D.L. King.
You see, the only thing that Kathy and I need assistance with is deciding which John Mayer song to do it to.
Well, maybe you should ask our guest that. Listen, if you know anything about erotica, D.L. King will be a name that stands out as a beacon of excellence in the genre. On top of being a world-class author and editor, D.L. also publishes an erotic book review site called Erotica Revealed. But don't let all these highfalutin credentials fool you, because she is brilliantly funny and smutty as all get out. As a special treat, D.L. will treat us to a mouth-watering selection of the fruit of her erotic mind. You won't want to miss this, people. And for more of D.L., be sure to visit her on her website, dlkingerotica.com, or her blog, dlkingerotica.blogspot.com.
Rumor has it you're in over your head.
I don't think that's true. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up my How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and also informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that?
There's one thing I learned from you. It's keep your friends close. And your enemies so close that you're almost kissing.
Yeah, basically that's my philosophy of life. Alrighty, on with the show. Welcome, D.L., and thank you for opening your erotic mind to us here on DrDickSexAdvice.com. I'm delighted that we could make this opportunity to be together. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Oh, hi, nice people. I hope everyone's out there is having a great time.
Well,
I'm sure you will be soon. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now that you're here, are you kidding? We've been waiting and waiting for your arrival, don't you know? But anyhow, I just want to make sure that we give another big shout-out to our mutual friend Brenda Knight at Cleus Press for hooking us up. She is one of my big fans, or I'm a big fan of hers, for doing all the wonderful stuff that she does at Cleus.
Absolutely. I really thank her for putting me on to you. I know we have a mutual friend, another mutual friend, that's Jeremy Edwards.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, he had been telling me about you, and I was going to get in contact with you, but then Brenda did it for me, so that was fabulous.
So you don't even need a social secretary then?
Right.
Good. Maybe we could tip Brenda for being such a nice lady. For goodness'
sake.
Well,
if I had money, you know. I'd
Exactly. And maybe I'll get some one day too.
Right.
Anyhow, so I've been spending a lot of time reading around your site, dlkingerotica.com, and the first thing that struck me were the opening words on your homepage. If you don't mind, I'll just read those. So, who is D.L. King anyway, you ask? What's here, and what makes this site worth my valuable time? Hot, kinky, dangerous, smutty, erotic stories. Stories that will give you ideas, make you wet, make you hard and wet. Oh, you do go on, ma'am.
Yes, I do.
And then you say, occasionally, I may emerge from my sequestered existence and appear before the public. Shudder. Be in the know by checking out the appearances link. Are you really a shut-in?
No, but you know, I don't get a chance to read all that often, although that's not necessarily the case anymore. It seems like I've been reading a lot lately. I have my more mundane life as well as my author life, you see. So,
well, we're
hearing as D.L.
Be...
King is, you know.
You're fabulous. So I hope
I
hope we get around to finding out a little bit about the other self too. But anyhow, listen, I did see your YouTube video, the In the Flesh reading one. Hey, I want to be shy and retiring just like you when I grow up.
Oh, you know, all you have to do is work at it.
I thought, my goodness, this is great stuff. And to have the chutzpah of being recorded and then up on YouTube, good for you.
You know what it is, actually, and I think you must, because you have this radio program. Once I started writing erotica, and once I actually started reading it in public, it got to the point where it was all so normal. I can say anything to anybody at any given time, and so it's hard to be in polite company anymore because I don't know how to act anymore.
I think the same way. I've mentioned the same thing to other guests, you know, that, you know, I'm so freewheeling on my own site and in my own little world and stuff like that, and when I get into polite company, I scandalize a lot and often.
I know. Wouldn't it be nice if people weren't so provincial and you know, didn't have the hang-ups that Americans seem to have about sex?
Oh, that's so true.
And you could just talk about whatever you wanted with anybody, anytime?
Right. I wish, you know, I really do. You know, I went to my niece's wedding in the fall, and I'm sure that I scandalized most of her friends. There's her pervy old uncle, you know. I was just like, isn't he weird? And I gave her and her fiancé a big box of sex toys for their wedding gift.
Oh, fabulous. You know, I have the same niece, but she loves the fact that I write sex.
Oh, yeah? Well, that, I don't know, she's very kind to me, and you know, she's very generous, and she's very sweet and stuff like that, but I swear to her, you know, her eyes are rolling back in her head. It's, oh my God, what next? So anyhow, let me move on to another one of your sites, eroticareveal.com. And here
yes.
You write, we started Erotica Revealed in what seems to be an absence of coherent critical response to a central vein in modern literature. While there are places to find equivalent of upbeat consumer reports or man-on-the-street opinions, there are few places to look for experienced, thoughtful criticism about the erotic in literature. Don't expect to find inflated praise or artificial cheeriness here. Do expect to find, instead, a genuine enthusiasm for graceful and imaginative writing about sex. Why do you suppose we need thoughtful criticism about erotica in literature?
Well, when I write erotica, I'm deadly serious about it. It's not just something I do because it's fun. It's something that I do because it's important to me.
Right.
And so I write fiction. I write I don't want to say I write literary fiction because I don't. I write erotica. I call it smut. Some people call it porn. I mean, you know, that's what I write. But I write it well, or at least I like to think I do. A lot of other people do as well. Many of them write what I would definitely call literary erotica. And so I think it deserves real criticism. It deserves real reviews. It deserves more than I liked it. I read it, you know, when I was in bed with my husband and we had a really good time. It deserves something about, you know, what's the characterization like? What is the storytelling like? Can this person, you know, put words together that transport you? That kind of thing. And
so there's more to it than just one-handed reading.
It's absolutely, it's actually literature, it really is. If you, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that's crap, but there's a lot of stuff out there that's really, really exciting fiction, worth one's time to read.
And, it's good fiction all by itself, and the fact that it's erotic fiction is like gravy, would you
say? Absolutely. Well, it's more than gravy. Okay, so erotica is erotica because it's designed to turn you on.
Right.
All right. If you take the sex out of erotica, it's not erotica anymore. It's just fiction, right? So if you could take all the sex out of a piece of erotica, it would no longer be classified in that genre.
Right. Okay.
Right. It wouldn't hold together. The story wouldn't make sense anymore. To make sense, the story needs the sex, because the story is really about the sex.
Right.
So, but it can be about the sex, and it can be really hot without being third grade level, you know, stroke fiction. And there's nothing wrong with stroke fiction, please. I've written it.
I've read it.
Absolutely. And cheers to you.
Oh, it's confessional time now, don't you know? So the posted editors for this site reads like a who's who in the world of erotica. This is a serious commitment on your part, as you just mentioned above. Is it because of the current efflorescence of the erotica genre? There's a lot of dross as well as the gold?
I think there is, and we weren't really kidding when we said that we weren't going to inflate it with cheerfulness, that it was going to tell the truth. Because if you read our reviews, you'll see that there are negative reviews as well as positive reviews, and there are mediocre, middle-of-the-road reviews, and, you know, there are glowing reviews. We don't want to lie about stuff, and there is a whole range out there, and so we want to let our reading audience know what they're getting into when they buy a piece of erotica, hopefully, or at least from our points of view. You know, when you read any kind of criticism, when you read the movie critics in the paper, you know who you kind of feel the same way about, you know, and who you like to, you know, there's always that guy that you have the exact opposite of opinion.
Leonard Maltin, for example.
Okay, so there you go. So when
this is my show, I can say what I want.
That's right. When he says he hates it, you go out and see it, right?
Exactly that. So let me ask you, when you guys are reviewing, you're not reviewing just because of the content, you know, because I don't get off on BDSM, you know, kind of erotica, and so I'm going to dish this because it's BDSM erotica.
Oh, no. We review any kind of erotica from, you know, mild, sweet, you know, married erotica all the way to the raunchiest, you know, roughest rent boy gay erotica. And it, you know, we're into it all. And most of our reviewers, well, our reviewers have their little niches, I suppose. They'll all read anything, and they'll all, you know, recognize good writing in anything. But I like to give, you know, particular reviewers specific kinks if I know that there are kinks that those reviewers are into, because at least into reading, because they'll give those kinds of subjects a, I think a more. This is where you have to edit this out, because this is where I begin to sound like a moron. See, if I have the time to write it down, I can think about what I want to say.
Sorry, ma'am.
That's right. Thank you very much.
So you offer your reviewers an option to review particular kind of stuff according to their tastes? Yes?
Actually, not really. I know what their tastes are. Oh. I pretty much assign the reviews.
Because you're the boss, basically.
Well, yeah, I guess. And besides...
I like it.
It's easier that way, though. I get all the mail, so people write to me to request reviews. I go through them. I look to see if it's something that I think we can review on the site or that we have time to review. We're usually booked up to 6 months ahead.
Wow.
And I look to see who's open, who's got the next open available review, and I assign people stuff. When certain things come up that I know a particular reviewer is going to really want to read, I will assign it to them. There are certain people who like to read certain things. I generally try to assign a lot of the lesbian reviews to Jean Roberta, because she really likes to read lesbian erotica, and she writes lesbian erotica, so she understands it,
right.
She knows what's going on in the genre. I assign a lot of gay erotica to Kathleen Bradian, because she writes gay erotica and she also is really well versed in the genre. Mm-hmm. And I know who's into specific things, who has the right knowledge base for a particular piece, and so I try to put things where they fit.
And
balance the schedule, so to speak. I have this big spreadsheet, and it's like, it's craziness.
Mm. Spreadsheets.
Sexy.
So I see that Ashley Lister is one of your reviewers. He's a treasure, don't you know?
Ashley's a great friend of mine.
Is that right?
I got this. All of these reviewers are actually really great friends of mine. I spent some time with him in Blackpool. And
lucky you. We had the best time.
Sorry?
I said I've only had him as a guest.
He's fabulous. He's absolutely the most entertaining guy I've met in a long time. We just had the best time drinking port and being fun.
So you also have a Blogspot blog, a MySpace page, a Facebook page. You have pretty much covered the cyber universe, I see.
I guess I'm trying to do that. I think you sort of have to, as a writer these days, just to kind of keep up with...
When do you find time to touch yourself in purely?
It seems like it gets less and less.
Well, then don't join Twitter, because...
I'm on Twitter, too.
Are you a Twitterer, too? Oh, I didn't know that. How come I'm not following you? Or am I following you? Probably I am.
I think you are following me, actually. I don't tweet that often, but I do tweet some. I've been tweeting recently because of all the snow we've had in New York, so.
Hmm. Well, we'll turn our audience on to your Twitters as well, your tweets.
Sure.
So listen, I want to make sure that you know that you are welcome to burst into reading examples of your work at any moment. Talking about the erotic mind is swell and all, but savoring the fruits of that mind's labor is even better.
I'm happy to read anytime you want.
Well, why don't you read something for us now? I'm dying. I'm like dying over here.
You're dying?
I'm
all
like
right,
dying
well, we
over
wouldn't
here.
Want that to happen.
Not
definitely
quite yet.
Anyhow. No. I'll tell you what. I'll start with a piece that's in Allison Tyler's Frenzy.
Mm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the book. It's 60 stories of sudden sex. They're very short stories.
Yes. I think Jeremy read something from...
He may have done. Yes, he may have done. Well, this is a story called Hard Wet Silk, and it takes place in in a bar in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And I'm going to kind of start in the middle and take you to the end, and because I think that's about the right amount of time.
Okay.
All right. His scent, the submissive arousal and fear, mingles with my sweat, coats my body, and finds its way into my pores. I take another deep breath and smile. He's hard. My eyes rake his body from head to toe and back. He's hard, and it's nice. Well, all right, I mean, I guess I could. God, I've never done anything like this before, but I guess people do it all the time anyway. Guys are always talking about... I still haven't said a word, and he's got that nervous giggle. This guy must be from Jersey. I sigh, and he pops the button on his jeans. I fix on his eyes. He can't look away, and because I'm listening for it, I hear the zipper slowly come down. He makes this little O with his mouth, and I put my finger in it, resting it on his bottom teeth. As I look down to check him out, he closes his mouth and sucks on my finger. His cock is so hard, he's having a tough time trying to wrestle it out of his black briefs. He finally yanks the waistband down and frees it from the top. I run my finger down the side of it, barely touching it, and I feel him shiver. His tongue stops moving against my finger for a moment and then starts up again with renewed energy. He feels like silk, soft silk. With the full length of my hand, I press him against his abdomen and feel him twitch. I give him the eye, the one that says, "Oh, no, you don't." The feeling of his soft, velvety, silky skin covering such a hard center reminds me of a moray eel. I met a moray once. He seduced me, twined his body around my hand and my arm before fixing me with his gaze and backing away. He felt like wet silk around a hard, malleable central core. There was incredible strength there lurking underneath the wet silk. This guy sort of reminds me of that eel, but harder, much harder. I close my fingers around his shaft and smile up at him. What are you gonna... You don't wanna... I mean, it's not like I'm a kid or anything. I'm just saying, oh, baby, he moans. I squeeze him then and slide my hand down in search of his balls. They're still hiding in his pants. It's pretty tight in there, and he squeaks when I pinch a little skin between my fingers and the inseam of his jeans. I haul them out from the depths and push them through the opening in his underwear. Then I back up just a bit. Running my hand down the lower lip of my open mouth, my tongue paints saliva as I go. I lick my middle three fingers and rub the wet up his shaft. When I get to the head, I smear his pre-cum on them and move back down again. When I get to the waistband of his jeans, I skip down to his balls, suspended from the opening of the constraining fabric. I weigh them gently in my hand, kneading them just a little. He groans, and I stick my index and middle finger of my other hand into his mouth. Again, he sucks. I like that mouth action. It's the first thing I've said since backing him into this corner, leaving my fingers in my mouth. I back away from him. Now there's plenty of room between us, an arm's length of space. I'm no longer protecting him from view. I remove my fingers from his mouth and turn and walk a few paces in the general direction of the door, and turn back to see him still standing there against the wall, cock standing up snugly against his abdomen, held in place by the waistband of his underwear, balls pulled out of his slit, and his face frozen in an expression of awe. "You just gonna stand there all night with your dick hanging out?" I ask. I turn and walk calmly away. I hear a voice in the back say, "Hey, buddy, asshole!" Then I'm outside. I get a few feet away from the bar and turn back to see him practically falling out the door after me. He's still in the process of zipping up his fly. He gets himself zipped and buttoned, adjusts the package, and stands there staring at me. "You coming or not?" I say. I turn and head for home.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Don't you know? I love it.
Thank you.
There's a little bit of femdom stuff there, I think.
There's a lot of femdom stuff in most of my stuff. You haven't figured that out yet.
Yes, ma'am. And we're going to talk about that soon, I hope. But before we do, I want to... how many publications, hard copy and web-based, do you have out there? Do you have any idea?
Oh, boy. I guess I'm in about maybe 20 or so. So 15, 20 books, maybe. Wow. I've got two novels out.
Yikes.
And let's see, I'm online a couple of places. I have a few stories, two stories, I think, in The Dominance View, which is a wonderful website run by a woman in Vancouver, the Vancouver area.
Wow.
And I have a piece on good vibrations.
Okay.
And I don't know, I guess that's kind of about it. I've got some stuff coming up that should be out soon that I'm looking forward to seeing. I've edited two anthologies for Cleus Press and am in the process of editing another one for Logical Lust Press.
Wow.
So I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm really excited about a story that I've got in Maxim Jakubowski's new Sex and the City series in his New York book, which should be out this spring, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And another one of Rachel Kramer Bussell's books, Please Ma'am, which should also be out this spring, which is a Cleus book.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's... Oh, and one of Violet Blue's books, which is going to be coming out either this spring or this summer. Which is,
all
which I
names.
Actually miss. Yeah! I can't believe it.
Do you have favorites? I know it's like asking a mother if she favors one or another of her kids, but I'm going to throw it out there anyhow.
Favorite editors?
No, books, your own stuff.
Oh, my own stuff. Well, yeah, sure. I guess I like pretty much most of what I've written, but some things I like for various and sundry reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the piece that I have in Best Women's Erotica 09, Violet's book, because it's very playful. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a cute piece. It's called Snug Designs, and it's about a woman buying her first rubber clothing.
Wow.
And it's great fun, and it's funny, and it's silly. Most of my stuff is funny.
I love that. Honestly, dirty humor is my idea of a good time. I really do. I think it's so wonderful.
Great.
If you can make them laugh and make them come at the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of my goal, I guess, you know? And I have another piece that I really like a lot that's in a book called Broadly Bound, which is it's the first of a series of books, and it was put out by Faze as an e-book, but it'll be out in print, I believe, in February. And it's GLBT BDSM.
Wow.
And so all the stories had to be gay, lesbian, bi, or trans in nature, and all on a BDSM kind of idea. And so my story is kind of a polyamorous story about a family who is mostly women with one guy who's gay. The women are bi, and they want to find a friend for the gay man in their household. And so there's a lot of varied sex in that. There's
mm-hmm.
there's fun lesbian sex, and there's fun gay sex, and it's just a really nice story. I like it.
I like it too. It sounds wonderful.
I was actually going to read a piece from that, as a matter of fact, a little bit later on.
Yes, absolutely. Good, good, good. So before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Is D.L. King your real name or nom de plume? And if it is, why?
If it's my nom de plume, why?
Yeah.
Well, it is my pen name.
Uh-huh.
It's my pen name because I have another life outside of erotica that I
hate to say.
You're
the Secretary of State, right?
No, I'm not, actually. But
come on, Hillary, you can say. Go ahead.
No. Does Hillary sound like me? No, she doesn't.
I love it.
But it's, I do have a profession that doesn't match well with it, and so, you know.
Well, how about, can you give us a brief bio of what the things you can tell us about your real self without giving away the fact that, you know, you are somebody other?
Well, I really do live in New York. Did you happen to read my bio for my my blog? Okay, I really do live in New York. I really do live between the Wonder Wheel in Coney Island and the Chrysler Building, somewhere between those two points. And,
oh, good. Excellent.
I really am, as is mentioned in most of my stories, very short. 4'11", 3/4". I really am a femdom.
Wow. So you know of what you speak or write?
I kind of do, yes. People ask me all the time, have you done all those things that you write about? Uh-huh. And I just look at them like they're insane. Because
it's a gay sex thing, huh?
I haven't done that, you know, because I'm actually not a guy. And,
you're so disappointing. You're such a bummer.
And like my novels, The Melano Project and The Art of Melano, The Melano Project is just over-the-top craziness, and it's great fun, and it really turns me on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is kind of science fiction-y.
Oh, wow.
And so people say, have you done all those things? And I say, but those things don't actually exist.
But yes, I have.
I made those up.
Oh. So how
but
did
I've done a lot of them.
How did you get your start as a writer? And when did you start introducing the erotic component?
I've only ever actually written erotica.
Get out!
I know, because really if I do, then...
So not children's stories and stuff like that? Or erotic children's stories?
Sorry. You said get out.
You're so... I get it.
okay. No, I actually sat down... I'd always wanted to be a writer from the time I was a kid. I actually... thought I would be a writer, and then I just actually never got around to doing it. And one day, I believe it was in 2002, some friends came to visit for Thanksgiving from upstate New York, and they left the Friday after Thanksgiving in the morning. And right after they left, for some reason, I sat down at the computer and I started writing. And what I wrote was The Melano Project, the first novel that I wrote. And it came out as this crazy, over-the-top BDSM femdom erotica. And I guess that's kind of what I've been writing ever since. Hmm. And now I don't know that I could... write something that didn't have sex in it. And that's not to say...
You spoiled yourself.
I have spoiled myself, but that's not to say that I couldn't write mainstream fiction, because I think I could, but it would have to have sex in it.
I see. Well, that's good, because, you know, the world's a better place.
It seems it is, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. If you aren't living the life of a full-time sexual athlete... what?
No, I only do that part-time.
Because it's too exhausting full-time. I've tried it. No.
Yeah.
So what...
Yeah.
I did.
So you know.
I read about it in a book. Probably one of yours.
Could be.
What sparks the images that become your erotica? Obviously, Thanksgiving with friends, because... that's how your novel got started.
Well, but you know, it was nothing about Thanksgiving or the friends who were there. I mean, it just really wasn't. I don't know. I guess I just have a fertile imagination where sex goes is concerned. You know, I don't know what sparks
So how did you know when? How did you know that you were writing really good stuff? I mean, are you really talented along? So this is so confounding to me. I mean, I do a lot of writing, but I don't think I'm any good. And I struggle and you know I'm dyslexic and you know some people you know it just seems to flow out of them like, and I just sit back and go, how is that possible? So.
Sometimes it does flow. Sometimes I'll sit down to write and an hour will have gone by and I will have written, you know, 3 or 4 pages of really, really good stuff that mm-hmm. all hangs together and works really well. And that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Writers a lot of times talk in terms of word count because we're kind of used to knowing what, you know, how many words a story should be and how many you know, words are on a page and that right, kind of right. thing. And so sometimes I can just put out, you know, an inordinate amount of words and they're good words. And that's pretty incredible. And other times I'll sit down to write and an hour will go by and I will have written a paragraph or two and I won't be that happy with those, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just, you know, it is what it is. How did I know I was good? I don't know that I ever knew that I was good. I don't know. I mean, now I think that some of the stuff that I write is actually really good and some mm-hmm. of the stuff that I write is okay and mm-hmm. other people seem to like it and so that works out for me, but I got more confidence actually by joining a writers group called the Erotica Readers and Writers Association, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Mm-hmm. That's the one Jeremy mentioned, I think.
Yes, he's also a member of that list, and it's the best writers list out there, I think. Whether you write erotica or not, although it is for erotica writers, it's a really fabulous list, and you can post your stories, and people will critique them, and you know there's a dialogue that goes on all the time about writing, and it's a fabulous list. I learned a lot just from being on that list, and I got the courage to start submitting my work to publishers. Mm-hmm. That, you know, because of that list, and the rest is what it is.
I remember discussing this with Jeremy and being so surprised that there was such a supportive community out there. And, you know, he just sang the praises.
Oh, yes, and from what I understand, it's probably the most supportive writer's list out there. There's really no snarky comments about writers. There's no, you know, nobody plays favorites. Nobody's out to get anybody else. There's no mm-hmm. catty infighting that goes on that list. And that's unusual in the world of cyber communication, I
right.
think.
I think so, too.
So it's a really great place to be.
Hmm. So on that note, I must tell you that our time is up for today. Is it? And I have, like, I'm just beginning with you, as you can tell. We haven't even got to the really juicy stuff. About
That's
you.
Right.
So, I'll talk about cliffhangers. So, audience, you want some smutty stuff about D.L. King? Stick around for next week. Will you come back next week?
Absolutely.
If you don't, I'd cry and cry.
Oh, no, well, we can't have that.
And will you read some more for us, too?
I'd love to.
Okay, but before we go, would you be able to give us your website address and walk us around a bit so we can visit you in cyberspace during the week?
Sure. You can find me at dlkingerotica.com. And on there, you can find all of the things that I've got in publication currently and links to purchase them.
Oh, goodness. And that's what I was going to ask next.
Oh, yeah, and little excerpts from many of the stories and under appearances where you can hear me read next. I just read last Thursday night at KGB Bar in New York City for Best Lesbian Erotica 2010.
Wow.
Which was great fun. I love reading at KGB. And So you can find that. You can find also all the latest reviews of my work under the reviews page. You can find some fabulous pieces of photography. You can't, not mine, but some really great photographers. I actually am a photographer, but I have very little of my work on that site. I think that's kind of about it. You can find out about me. You can find, there's some really cool links of places that I like to visit and other writers that I think are really great to read. And so it's a good site. And then there's the blog, which I don't keep up as much as I'd like to. But that's at dlkingerotica.blogspot.com. And you can find out things about the Seattle airport that are just really bizarre.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's pictures of it and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I read in Seattle.
Did you?
I did in August, and you did not come to see me, nor did anyone else for that matter. Actually, it was a shame. I drove up from Portland with another writer from Portland, and we had just read in Portland the day before to a very nice crowd of people, and went to Seattle to the center
Wet Spot.
It's the
Center for Sex
Culture. Yeah, Sex Positive Culture. That's right. Which is fabulous, and I got a great tour, and it's really a wonderful location.
Yeah.
They had advertised it, but no one showed up.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll not let that happen ever again.
That's a good thing.
So, until next week, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Great. See you then.
Thank you. Hey, great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for part two of my conversation with D.L. King and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
So you're going to be a mailroom guy?
No, I think I'm going to hold on to this job for a while. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal.
We really can't have it all.
In a manner of speaking. Remember, your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? One more thing before we conclude, I want to make sure that you know about my new product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it's easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick Review crew review all kinds of adult goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Be sure to check out my site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. You'll be so glad you did. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory, Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.